in for the next cast. And I'm flying, well, not flying solo. I got the boys at Van Epps with me, but I got no Rev. Glenn is all the way in Maryland, but he is with us.
Via remote control.
Are you jingling some change or something like that?
Me? No.
Oh, just you had like a weird jingle going on.
Oh, that's just the left. What's left of the marbles rattling around inside my skull, man.
Yeah, we definitely have to talk a little bit about what's been going on in Maryland. Or
they're jingling, baby. Go ahead, baby. They're jingling, baby. Go ahead, baby. I don't even know what that means.
You know, SJ's, is it Jay? No, is that Jay-Z or was that LL Cool J?
I wouldn't know. I avoid those types of things. Well, Jake, I think, would slap me. I'm like, dude, have you heard the new Jay-Z's?
Anti-rock.
No, but then I would come back with the dude, the new JT album.
Oh, Timberlake?
Oh, I can't go wrong with Timberlake,
he's
man.
He's a talented dude. I got to give him that.
I've seen him live.
Yeah, I don't have anything bad to say about old Timberlake. He brought the sexy back, and I've watched my wife dance to that song, and so I don't have any problems with that.
Yeah, he brought it back, and it hasn't left.
Yeah, if it inspires Tawny, I'm good to go, man.
Yeah, that's kind of how it is with Sid. Sid loves Justin Timberlake, so if that makes her happy, if I take her to a concert, makes her happy and excited, and then takes her love for Justin Timberlake out on me later on, I'm okay with it.
Or Britney Spearsing it up twice in one trip.
Okay, you know. Quite possible. I don't know.
You never know.
What kind of weirdo would do that, Jake? That's the funny thing. So just so we know, we got Van Epps, we've got Matt, Bobby, and Jake, and they've got a big CD release show that's going to be happening on Friday, August 11th, that we're going to be talking about quite a bit during this podcast. 10 Miles Wide playing with you guys, as well as Devils Hunt Me Down, and also Omni, which is Will from 10 Miles Wide, his other band. So he's doing double duty.
Hell yeah.
Duty. But Jake and I almost crossed paths while we were in Vegas, because when I was leaving, you were arriving, and we both went to check out the Beatles Love, which was kind of funny.
Yeah. Oh, that one of the best shows I've ever seen, hands down.
Yeah, because I told Glenn.
Oh, so you were at that, Jake. Steve told us all about that on a previous cast. I didn't know that you were there as well. Same show. Like,
no,
same performance.
He went to the next day.
Yeah, that was one day after Steve.
And we were going to try and meet up, but then all of a sudden we got a Britney Spears hair up our ass, and we decided we got to go see Britney. And then by the time that was over, I was like, Jake, I'm just exhausted. I saw Beatles Love and Britney Spears in one day. I am done. And walked around in the sun.
Well, and by day three in Vegas, too, you're like, I'm ready to go home.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So what was your take on Beatles Love? Because you've seen it a couple times, right?
Yeah. So I saw it once for the first time. I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago. And then when I saw it last time, they changed it up a little bit. They did a little bit different with the choreography and the acrobatics and all that stuff. But it was, I mean, both times I was blown away. Both times. It's just incredible how they represented the music through a different art form. It's super cool to me.
I said that it's almost like they captured the spirit of the music in the live performance.
Oh, totally.
Like you felt like you were inside the brain of the Beatles, which is not a good thing maybe in those situations, because it's very hallucinogenic.
Oh, totally.
Paul McCartney.
And I love that they used their actual music.
Yeah.
Which is great.
No, and I think, didn't George Martin or something? He was or is George Martin's son or something did
I think it was George Martin.
Okay, yeah.
So George Martin, he helped remix the songs to give a new life to the songs.
Oh, and I downloaded that whole album on my phone too. I was like, this Love record is awesome.
Yeah.
Might as well keep that in the collection too. So
I did the same thing. I got back and I'm like, oh, there's a soundtrack. All right, I'm downloading.
Yeah, totally.
Glenn, what's going on with you, man? How was the show over in Maryland?
Oh man, Maryland's been a blast, man. I mean, we got in Wednesday morning at about 6 a.m., right? So we flew into Baltimore Washington International. And then, because we're getting flown in, we're borrowing gear. We pretty much shipped our pedals and all of our merch back here, but we had to make an appointment with Gibson to swing by Gibson in D.C. They have a showroom there to pick up some guitars. So they couldn't meet us till about 11 a.m. So we ended up bombing around D.C. for a couple, several hours, just waiting to get hooked up, and it was just, man, like Africa hot, like Vietnam hot, like Sean literally got out of my brother-in-law picked us up, and we got out on my brother-in-law's truck, and Sean just said, oh my god, it's hotter than Satan's D. And that began the whole, and of course Sean does Forrest Gump better than Tom Hanks. So he started quoting Gump, just saying, he's like, I'm really happy to be here with you in our nation's capital. You know, and I'm laughing, but yeah, it was really hot, like, man. So we just walked up to the Washington Monument, and then we all, let's see, we just for shelter, for air conditioning and shelter, we ducked into one of the Smithsonian's where Chris and I enjoyed stereo dueling bowel movements in the air conditioning, and didn't get to see any of the museum. You know,
sounds like quite the
show.
So
that was the beginning of our trip. Then went to my sister's for a little while. She has a swimming pool. It was so hot that her pool water, I think, was 88 degrees. So we lounged in the pool.
Jeez.
Beers were had, and then we got into Maryland.
It's a hot tub at that point.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, totally.
Oh, man, just humidity, you know, like you don't get real humidity in Seattle. So we were just, it was just like an oven, man. But just hanging with the family, having a good time, and went and we did an acoustic show Thursday night at a little club called Uncle Jack's. That was kind of a pre-funk for Saturday's big show. And tons of people came out, people I haven't seen in a long, long time. We all got just completely hammered. I've been asked not to share
you.
These photos. But,
no.
But,
doesn't sound like Glenn.
No. Lies.
The promoter out here, the guy that put all this on, a guy named Andy Titchnell, he owns several businesses, a catering company, but he's also a city cop. So the end of the night came, and we're like, Andy, man. And he's like, oh, man, I got you. I'll put. So Andy piles us all in the cruiser. And drives, the first time I've ever ridden in a police car without getting the free jewelry, you know? and he gave us all a ride out to my parents' house in the cruiser at about 3 in the morning. So we pulled in around the back of my parents' house. My dad came out back kind of to greet us. And there's this cop car, and we all pile out, hey, Roger, what's going on? You know, and he's shaking his head in disbelief. And so, yeah, and then we all took lots of pictures by the cruiser and stuff. Of course, the next day, Andy was like, hey, man. Don't put those on the internet.
That's like one time I remember I was on an airplane and my buddy was a pilot and I was just like, hey man, can we check out the cockpit? My wife and I was like, yeah, sit, take pictures. I take all these pictures. He didn't tell me though I shouldn't post these on social media. So I'm like, check who the pilot is, and I tag him in it. Quickly untags himself and then sends me a private message like, hey man, could you completely ditch those pictures? I'm like, oh shoot, sorry man. I just thought it looked cool that I was flying a plane. He's like, yeah, that's there's information, there's pictures, there's things that some people shouldn't see.
Yeah.
Well, and the pilot's all, Steve, it's a great photo, but the pint of vodka that was in my cup holder, I don't need that being on the end. Can you please take that photo down?
And the porn playing on the iPad, that helps keep me awake.
But yeah, you know, we then Saturday was the big show. I mean, this massive festival grounds, it was huge. They brought in this incredible, literally it was like a semi-truck trailer that you pull in and basically this thing unfolds and becomes this massive stage. You know, just top shelf staging, top shelf lighting, top shelf sound. And Saturday, to say that it rained, my God, it rained all day, and not like Seattle rain. I mean, the raindrops were the size of your thumb. It just poured, man. It poured and poured. There's been no rain here, I guess, for like 2 months, and it hasn't rained again since, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So, of course, but, for the day of the show, there needs to be rain.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, man, and it didn't just rain a little. It dumped. It just dumped. So a lot of the bands went ahead and played in the rain. There was a huge pavilion that people just kind of huddled under where they had all the food and beverage stations and stuff. But I mean, it definitely hurt the show, which was a bummer. I mean, when we played, there were, God bless them, man, I mean, diehards that just suffered through that miserable weather all day. And I think we maybe played for a couple hundred people. The rain finally stopped at about 10 o'clock and we went on around 10:30. We were scheduled to go on at 9, but the weather was so terrible. I mean, like monsoon rains, thunder and lightning, just nasty. So by the time we hit the stage, it's like all these people that suffered through this all day. So we just played like it was the last chance we were ever going to get to play. We threw down for close to 2 hours.
Well, it could have been. You might have been electrocuted after that. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that would have been perfect. A lightning strike, and that would have been that. You know, they'd be looking for my ashes. They just find one boot and like a watch, you know. So but that kind of brings you up to speed, man. I mean, the show was great, and we had an awesome time. Sold lots of merch. Just met lots of amazing people. They were all so excited that we were there. But man, the weather just really bombed.
That sucks.
Like I said, it wasn't like a Seattle rain. It was like, good God, if you're going to walk 4 feet, you're in trouble. Like, just pouring, man, and all day. So it was a real kind of a heartbreaker, especially for Andy Tichnell and his wife Marley. They're the ones that put this whole thing on. And just, you know, and Andy was cool. He was so excited to have us there. We got him up on stage with us at the end of the show. We all took a big bow together. I mean, it was all as cool as it could possibly be, but
he got hit.
I know
lightning.
that rain killed the attendance, man, you know.
Yeah.
Just so a great time, but kind of a bummer, man.
Bad timing. Like, yeah. Great time, but bad timing.
The window pane.
Yeah, my God. The, Mother Nature just took a huge leak on us, bro.
The window pane wet whistle tour.
Oh, dude, we were drowned rats. I mean, my hair was stuck to my face. I mean, all of us were soaked.
Do you guys, the boys in Van Epps, have you ever had a situation like that where you had to play outside and nature took its course?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What
happened?
We played a private party over in Snohomish. Like years
Not good.
Ago, and we brought our full PA, so we brought, like, you know, our huge, you know, tower speakers that are as big as we are, and all this stuff. And we were set out on the porch, and we played for about an hour, and then halfway through one of the tunes, it just starts pouring down rain, and we kind of start looking at each other like, all right, should we keep going?
Or not. I was like, well, let's cut it right now.
So we were just like, all right, fine, we'll finish the song. So we finished the song, and then it's just like, guitars down, put tarps over everything we could, getting everything out of the rain under. They had like a little patio that we could put stuff under. It was just, and then it was just getting home, and then just stretching out each cable, you know, laying it out on the floor, letting them dry off. Opening each microphone, kind of like taking all the components out so they can, you know, dry off. It was,
well, and all our monitors were facing towards us, so the rain's hitting the actual speaker. So
yeah.
Were you getting shocked while you're singing into the microphone?
No, actually, no. I've been shocked many times on stage, but that was not one of the times.
Glenn, I know you've been shocked while singing into a microphone, right?
Oh, God, yes.
The worst ever.
Actually, one of the worst ever was a tiny little club called the Big Dipper in Spokompton, over in Spokane, Washington. And we were just sound checking, and I grabbed a hold of the mic, and it hit me so hard, the lights dimmed. The light show dimmed. And I didn't fall down, but I fell backwards into a seated position. And Mark Harris, you know, of course, he's an electrician by day, right? He went completely bananas. He's like, what'd you just do to my singer? What do you know? It was bad. And then that show was so
Rogue
bad.
Mark.
I was getting hit so hard. And then Mark and Tony were bumping into each other like they always do. And they were shocking each other if they even touched each other. And finally, by the end of the set, I got so frustrated, I took my guitar off and just threw it down on the drum riser and just sang the last song. I was furious. That club's called the Big Dipper, and I don't think we'll ever go back there again. I don't mind telling the story, because when you take that much voltage, you should be able to out the club that basically gave you shock therapy, man.
You'd think that'd be like, hey, we should make sure everything's grounded if we're a club with a lot of electricity going through it. I don't know.
I mean, nice people. The staff treated us great. The sound guy was very friendly. Nice people. I have nothing negative to say about the people. Windowpane will probably not be returning to that venue. You know, man.
That's hilarious.
And I've had other ones too. One of the best ones was we were doing the Central, and I was taking current so bad through my mic at the Central down in Pioneer Square. It got to a point where it was jumping into the sweat in my hair and then burning my face. So finally, mid set, it was like August, and it was sweltering hot, and the place was packed. And so finally, I'm like, hang on, everyone. And I took my boot off, and I took my sock off, and I looped my sock over threw it over the microphone, then pulled my boot back on. I was like, okay, let's go. And like that little whatever it would be, you know, a 16th of an inch of cotton or whatever was enough to give me just enough separation that I wasn't getting zapped as bad. But I finished that whole set with a sock on my microphone.
That sounds like a weird Red Hot Chili Peppers thing.
But it smelled great.
I had to do something. I was like, I can't take this anymore. I don't care what this looks like, and I'm not going to stop playing, but I can't take it, man. This tear was jumping into my front teeth.
Oh, I feel bad.
That was awful.
I feel bad for the next singer with that microphone.
And before all that, Glenn had perfectly straight hair.
That's right.
The start of his curly hair phase.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, I wasn't going to say anything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Van Epps, you guys have a new CD that's going to be coming out. You were kind enough to let Glenn and I hear it, which, my man, guys, it just sounds huge.
Thank you.
Oh, thank
it
you.
Sounds gigantic, which is, I mean, it's perfect for this. I mean, the last show I saw with you guys was actually with Windowpane for Mark Harris's last show, and I talked about it on the podcast. I know, Matt, you talked about it, but I haven't had a chance to talk with you guys about it, but with Bobby and Jake. How cool was it? And for those that didn't hear that episode, I couldn't stop raving about watching you guys perform on stage and bringing your fathers up on stage.
It was
unlike anything I've ever. I mean, hey, Windowpane did something I've never seen before when they've passed the torch on stage from bassist to bassist. And then you guys did something I've never seen before where you brought your parents, your dads, up on stage to perform with you. And all I could think was, my dad was a drummer, but he stopped playing because he hurt his arm. So I would never had that opportunity. And plus, I can only play drums. Like, maybe could play the kazoo decent, and that's about it. But, like, I would never have that opportunity to jam with my father on stage. You guys had that opportunity. What was that like for you guys?
Oh, it was rad. Yeah, and our dads taught us everything we know, so it was great to actually do that and come to a packed Showbox show and have our moms go crazy because our dads are up there.
Moms getting to be groupies for dads.
We're just like, if nothing else, dads are getting some action.
This is my
You guys guaranteed all your dads got lucky that night. Good sons. Good sons.
My dad walked off and he felt like a bad A.
Just hit him on the shoulder like, you're getting laid tonight. That's my Father's Day gift to you. That'd be awesome.
Tonight I make you another brother.
Oh, jeez.
Another hairy kid.
Fantastic. It was a really cool moment just because, you know, like, our dads are kind of the influences that got all of us interested in music, you know, growing up. I mean, I remember walking into the computer room and my dad was playing AC/DC and I was just like, what is this? And he's like, oh, we used to listen to this in high school. And then from that point on, I just couldn't get
it. He left out the part where he'd smoke pot while listening to it in high school, I bet. But, or maybe not.
Love to see that.
It was just a really cool experience. And I think the audience had really enjoyed watching it too, which it was just kind of a fun thing for everyone. Like, I really enjoyed doing it.
Well, I think anyone could relate to it in the sense that, like, how cool would it be to do anything with one of your parents? Mm-hmm. Something that you enjoy doing, not like something, you know, like something boring. Like, being on stage and rocking out and then getting to bring your parents up or your dads up on stage is something that I watched and I felt like a cool, like, I felt like I was a part of, like, a family moment. It was pretty. Did they know each other? Like, did your dads all know each other beforehand? Or?
Oh, yeah. Jake's dad and my dad are in a band together, and we're trying to recruit Matt's dad to get on keys.
Yes.
And call him Van Dad.
I've been talking to him for
Van Dad.
Van Dad.
I just want a Van Dad t-shirt, man. I just want a Van Dad t-shirt.
Me
I don't
too.
Care if the band ever gets off the ground, bro. Will you hook me up?
We'll get you one, Glenn.
Yeah, I'll put 20 in on that.
There you go.
Yeah, I'll put 20 in right now for that, man.
Let's get that Kickstarter going, Van Dad.
It's not that big of a Kickstarter for a couple shirts.
$40 goal.
$40
reached
goal
by two backers. Finally, a Kickstarter that works.
Yeah, right.
And then you only get 12 of that dollars, though.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. What about for you, Matt? Was that a fun experience?
Oh, yeah, it was great. Yeah, I still remember when Jake called me with the idea. He calls me up and he's like, he does the whole like, dude, I have this great idea. And whenever you get that call from somebody, especially Jake, you know, you don't know if it's going to be like what his idea was, or if it's like, dude, like, I don't know, like,
it's hit or
pickles
miss
on a... I mean, sorry.
It's okay.
Pickles on a peanut butter sandwich. Like, I don't know.
Well, that's always good.
That is great.
Wait. Did I miss something? I didn't hear a beep or anything. What, was it pickles on a D? What was he about to say?
No, he said the F word.
I said the F word.
I screwed up.
He's a bad boy.
I missed that.
What a bad, dirty mouth boy.
Nice. Punish him.
Dirty mouth. Matt.
Naughty.
Do you sing songs with that
anyways
mouth?
Really dirty songs with that mouth.
I didn't realize you guys were like, you know, genuine or something like that. Geez. Singing naughty songs.
Didn't realize you were
bikers. Do you kiss Van Dad with that mouth?
Oh, jeez.
Kiss your dad with that mouth.
It's a frightening concept, Glenn. Thanks.
How do you think he got him to perform?
That is a frightening concept.
Getting weird. This is getting weird quick. A typical mix cast getting weird within 20 minutes.
Yeah, no doubt.
No, it was cool. It was really cool. I had a great time. I've sang with my dad on stage before, like, for like church stuff. But
yeah,
it's different, you know.
Oh, it's 100% different.
It's different when you play in front of a, you know, showbox crowd playing rock and roll music, you know.
One of the weirdest differences, and I'm sure you've recognized that too, if you, so you've performed in front of a church.
Oh yeah, I grew up in choir, all that stuff.
See, yeah, I played drums for a church band, and you know, I went from playing rock shows my whole life to finally, like at 30 something, getting asked to play for my wife's church. And I'm like, hey, this is a good way to endear myself with her family. And
totally.
So I decided to do it and fell in love with doing it, and still truly do enjoy doing it. But the weirdest thing was after playing, I remember our first song, and I'm like, we nailed it. I'm playing it, and I'm like, this is going great. Like, because it's more contemporary Christian rock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's still got like a pulse to it. It's not a hymn.
Mm-hmm.
And we finish. And there's just pure silence. And then all of a sudden you hear a couple people go, amen. And I'm like, all that for an amen? Like, I don't know. I don't know if I was expecting a mosh pit to start with a bunch of 7-year-olds.
Yeah, I was going to ask, man. Like, did senior citizens start ripping off their blouses and dancing around? I mean...
Yes. The pastor, he took his shirt off. It was really weird. He started headbanging.
I don't get this church.
I was thinking more of topless grandmas, but I'm not sure that's a party I want to attend.
You know, at that point, I would have taken it. It would have given me a little validation that all that hard work was worth something.
It's like the new Foo Fighters video.
Yeah, speaking of topless grandmas, have you seen the new Foo Fighters video?
Yeah, no. I have. Oh, my God. It's great.
Is it the one for Run?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I saw some of it. I haven't seen the whole thing. They get topless?
By the end, it's like they're just going nuts. And
oh, that's hot.
Like, yeah, like grandma with just a flappy. Yeah.
Ooh.
It's all out there.
Well, this is a perfect segue for our GILF Talk segment that we usually do on the podcast. GILF Talk.
It's a real thing. Helen Mirren.
Well, let's talk about the new record. So you guys have the CD release show again. That's on Friday, August 11th. People could go to your Facebook page, reach out to you guys to get tickets, or where else? They could go to the Crocodiles website, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's all online. We're actually not doing the hard ticket pre-sale this time. We're just sending everybody online. Or to the door.
Okay, yeah. So is it the Crocodile?
Crocodile website would be good. Yeah, yeah.
Is it thecrocodile.com?
I believe so. I know there's a link on our Facebook invite, but...
I guess I could look it up right now.
We can post it up too, but yeah, I think it's crocodile.com.
So. Could probably post something on our website too in the next day or so.
Yeah. And the website is?
Rockvanapps.com.
Nice. Yeah, it's thecrocodile.com as well.
Cool.
There we go. So rockvanapps.com and thecrocodile.com.
Perfect.
You can figure it all out from there. Totally. Look at us. We got internet at our fingertips. Dude, we're like 1 foot out the door. You guys showed up, and like the studios have been completely gutted out. It's a ghost town.
Crazy.
Glenn, we're still in the old studios, and we're not going to be leaving these until Friday. This will be the very last Mixcast in the studio.
Man.
So it's a historic moment, you guys.
We are legends.
You guys are the last ones out of Deadwood, brothers.
Yeah.
I expected to see some tumbleweed blow through the...
I can't see Ryan Castle.
That's just my hair, Matt. That's just my hair, man. I shed and it's
Tumblebeard.
Tumblebeard.
Tumble Glenn. Yeah, Tumble Glenn and Van Dad will be playing at the Crocodile next Tuesday.
And Castle does have the tumble beard. Yes, you're absolutely right, Bobby. That's great. Well, why don't we listen to some stuff off of the record?
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have a preference. I have ones that in my head that I love all the songs. I thought they all sounded great. But the first one, I'm a big fan, and I've said this a million times, I sound like a broken record, but I do believe the first song off of any record sets the tone for what that record is going to be like. Like, I feel like that's your first impression.
Yeah.
And it better be good. And you guys definitely delivered with the first song off of this record.
Cool.
Does this have a name? Does the album have a name?
Yeah. So the album is just self-titled again. We didn't want to come up with... I don't know. We're really weird about names. With names, it's kind of like we can spend a really long time trying to come up with some really thought-provoking name or just call it Van Epps.
And then you can just have different colored albums.
Exactly.
And
it
could be like,
last time we spent like months trying to figure out a name, and then it just didn't work. So we're just
Were there any names that were kicked around, and what were some of the more ridiculous ones?
I was thinking like Abominable for the first one, and then I was like, yeah, we'll have an Abominable Snowman on the front. And then we got the album art back. I was like, wow, this sucks. I was like, this looks like I could draw something.
It looked like clip art.
It totally, like copy paste. I was like, oh yeah, someone's going to pick this up and be like, oh, this record's gonna rock.
Is this a Christmas album?
Is this a children's album?
Yeah.
Chuck E. Cheese.
You guys weren't down with Van Epps 2 Electric Boogaloo. I thought it was
way off the tongue. Well, now that you mention it, we haven't
very
finished
clever.
The cover.
Yeah. The cover is not done yet. That so is true. There's still time.
You could have
like a breakdancing kind of graffiti font.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, no, there's a whole photo shoot, man. I was dressed as Turbo, and Matt was dressed as Ozone. I don't know where the photos went, but, you know, I think they were just taking me on.
Collection. Yeah.
Like, I love when that. You're being nice to the stupid kid in class, I think they're like, yeah, Glenn, this is a great idea. Let's take these pictures. Okay, buddy. Thanks.
And correct me if I'm wrong. You know? Did Glenn just have come up with the character name from Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo?
I'm down for it.
I don't remember their names. That's impressive.
We want to change the album name right now. I'm for it.
That's right.
All right, so Van Epps 2 Electric Boogaloo. This is the first song off of it.
Rolls off the tongue.
Here, we're ready to check it out. The song is called Blood. Let's listen to it, and we'll be back after the song. Oh, hey. Wait, figure this. There we go. There we go. Top-notch production right here on the Mixcast. This is a foreshadowing of the rest of the song. There we go. I think we got it.
We blame you, Rev.
Yep, Rev's a dick. All right, here we go.
I want your blood, so give it up. Straight to the face, I've had a taste, and now I just can't get enough. I need your blood to live it up. 'Cause I've been shaking, faking, medicating, longing for your love. Some self-esteem, and I'm headed right out the door. I'm ready to rumble, and I'm starting to fumble. Different thoughts in my brain. This place is a jungle. I'm starting to tumble, but I'm feeling no pain. I'm holding up for now, but the night is young. I want your blood, so give it up. Straight to the face, I'm had a taste, and now I just can't get. Shaking, faking.
Turn the mics on right towards the end. Yeah, totally.
Hello.
Oh, hello. Hold on.
McFly.
Hit pause.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
It's all falling apart.
Way to go, Rev.
Right? Rev's a dick. Poor guy's got stomach issues, and I'm like, he's a dick.
Thanks for coming through, Rev.
We were talking while the song was playing that the new record has 7 songs. It's about 23, 24 minutes.
Yep.
And I was like, I like that because some of my favorite records are super short. And I find myself when I'm driving home, I'll not just listen to them once, but I'll wind up listening to them twice.
Totally.
Because like Weezer records, I always use as a great example. They're like 30 minutes long. And I never feel unsatisfied that, oh, they should have given me more. I'd rather have 7 quality songs than 15 super filler songs, in a part of it.
Absolutely.
Well, it's funny, man. Like, we learned a lot about, because of this vinyl debacle that Windowpane finds itself in.
Uh-huh.
We always tried to shoot for never more than an hour. So anywhere between, say, 45 and 55 minutes, which is anywhere from like 10 songs, maybe 12 songs. And that was always kind of our goal. We thought that was a nice long listen, not too long.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
So now we get into the, we got to do vinyl, and they're like, yeah, it's got to be a double album. We're like, what? Our album's like 53 minutes long. And they're like, yeah, that's going to be a double vinyl.
Wow.
And we're like, what? And so I go back and I look at like Led Zeppelin 4 and, Are You Experienced? And sure enough, man, all those records are like 38 minutes long, 37 minutes long, maybe 40 minutes long. And they're all 7 or 8 songs. And it just never occurred to me before. Never occurred to me. And I'm like, oh, no. Because it has to do with, they've got to cut all the grooves into the disc. And the more you compress it, like the more material that they have to put on, the more grooves. You get to a point where it's just unlistenable crap. So that's part of why the Windowpane vinyl still isn't out, is we have to press it as a double album, which is twice the expense.
Yeah.
We got things going at one point. We got our master back. We didn't like the way that sounded. So we got online for another one. And at this point, we're dead serious about it. We're going to be sending the Windowpane record itself because we were never really happy with the way it came out. And we're going to send it to Ted Jensen over at Sterling Sound in New York that does, oh my goodness, name it. He does a lot of great stuff. And of course, we got to get in line for that guy. So that's going to delay us yet again because we were like, well, we don't want to get our vinyl pressed off the old master because we never felt that the high mid crunch and presence and energy and sizzle was there. We went through 8 or 9 masters and we had a CD release party coming up, so we had to settle and just get the record out.
Mm-hmm.
So now our vinyl's delayed yet again because we're going to go to Ted Jensen in New York and get the album sounding the way we always wanted it to before we start hitting the road this fall. And so, but anyway, perfect play length, guys. I think the next Windowpane record will be like 2 songs,
one side of a vinyl,
8 minutes, and we'll just press 45s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Matt, you were mentioning that there's a waiting list just to get vinyl out, and which blows my mind because now with vinyl as popular as it is, you would think that there's all these different companies making vinyl, but apparently not.
There's just so few of them that they're back ordered so far that you're like, you put in an order for a vinyl and you're looking at like a 4 to 6 months wait.
Yep. Like, well, I think there's more because of the resurgence. There's more companies coming around.
Yeah.
But then there's a quality control issue, right? So if you want to go to the guys that have a reputation for being really high quality, Tony's got us in and out of queue several times now, and we're just okay. We'll get back with you guys in a few months. We're like, oh man.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Jeez. We swear to God they're coming out at some point.
We
man.
Promise all you Kickstarter backers, we will eventually get you your vinyl.
Well, it'll happen. It will happen. I can't tell you when, but
when I was looking at I was looking at the specs for a vinyl, and like even our 23, 24 minute record is like just on the cusp of depending on it. There are different dependent, like if you get like what size record you get, if you get the 5-inch or the 12 or whatever,
right.
Also the speed, which can affect the quality as well, whether it's faster or slower speed. It's crazy.
It's like you want to put out the vinyl, but you don't want to put out a crap version of vinyl. Right, so then it's like you're in this weird conundrum of, okay, well, what am I going to do and how do I pull this off?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah, because, these days it seems like, I don't know if you guys noticed it. I mean, have you put out vinyl before on the last record?
No. Yeah.
See, I'm curious to see on, like, on a local level, are people buying more vinyl or are they going to be buying more CDs at shows?
I think that I think it'll probably be more vinyl just because it's easier. Since CDs have been around for so long, I think people just probably revert to getting online as far as digital
just
stuff.
Just download it or stream it.
So like if they see a vinyl, I would imagine that people would mostly go to that just because, A, it's like the thing that's in right now.
Yep.
Right?
All the cool kids are using
it. Yeah, exactly. And then B, it's just, you know, it's also the different thing right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's a, I mean, that's the feedback we had gotten. You know, like Brett that we work with had talked about, you know, REM ended up in this conundrum where they had like, they did this pressing, but they had like 10,000 vinyls. They're like, oh God, what are we going to do with this? And they took it on tour. And I think within like two shows, it was all gone. And they were like, oh my God, people want this. And it comes down to, it's a fetish property. Like I think Matt's right. People will download the record. Or was that Matt or Jake or Bobby? I can't see you guys. Who was talking? It sounded like Matt.
Matt. Yeah.
Hey, all hey, right. I'm getting better at this. But no, I mean, the way we tend to sell our most, you know, CDs is, you know, with the signature. If we'll stand there and sign it, people will buy the disc
That's
all day long.
Yeah. Sure.
And even on our website, you can buy the record for 10, I think, and then you can get the signed version for 15. And about every 2 weeks, we have to sit down at the rehearsal space and sign a bunch of albums because no one buys the unsigned version.
Yeah, for $5 more.
The autographs. Sure. So it's like a fetish property, and that's why I think the vinyls, even if people don't have a player, you know, they don't have a turntable, they'll buy that vinyl just because it's a fetish property with the big album artwork and it's old school and you can read all the lyrics and it's just fetish property. It's like a cool thing to own.
That's funny you say that because for a while I bought a bunch of vinyl when I was living in my old house in Linwood. I'm like, well, eventually I'm going to get an awesome turntable. I'm going to set it up. It's going to be great. Then we were moving from Linwood to Puyallup, and I had all this vinyl, and my wife's like, you got to get, like, what are we doing? Like, you don't have a record player. I'm like, yeah, I should just probably give them to someone. So I get rid of all this vinyl, and then I get to this house, I buy a record player. Now I'm in the process of rebuying them. And now it's like, it's way hip to buy vinyl, so it's also way expensive to buy vinyl. Like, back then, I was getting records for $2-3 a pop, like an Aerosmith record here, or an AC/DC record. It's because they were all just sold in, like, the used bins, or whatever. It may be
at Easy Street,
or like, you know, Sonic Boom or wherever it was. And now I go and I want to go pick up some vinyl and replenish my old stash, and everything is at least $20 to $30 a pop.
Well, no, our double album, I think we're talking about making the price point on that 40 or 45. And of course, we were talking our only real source for, dude, how screwed are we here, would be Brett, and he's like, Glenn, people are gonna buy it. They're gonna buy it. Trust me, it's a double album. Even if they just take the things and use a thumb pin and put them up on their wall, it's gonna sell. It's gonna sell. And we're like, okay, man. And then, of course, everyone we've talked to that have done vinyl, they're like, oh my God, we can't keep it in stock. And we're like, okay. Because to me, it's like, damn, $45. But then you think about, and I mean, even we're at that point where our average t-shirt's 15 to 20, hoodies are 35 or 40, and they sell all day long, like crazy. So, you know, it's that weird, being in a band, being bands at our level, it's that weird adjustment you have to make in your mind, like, where you start charging a $15 cover and you feel like that's unreasonable, and you have to remind yourself that it's 2017.
Yeah.
And, you know, these people are seeing four bands for $15, and it's a bargain, $15-$20. But you're used to thinking, oh, $5 cover, $10 cover, but that was
$6. You know, I remember back when I started playing, it was always
$6. Too long, man.
I was like, we're not going to 10. We're like Fugazi. We're keeping it at $6.
Yeah, man.
Hey, while we have, before we play another song from the Van Epps, new record. I came across this story, and I thought it'd be fun to have you guys, who are fellow musicians, and probably have, you know, an opinion about this. A website by the name of Loudwire, which I think a lot of people know. It's a rock heavy metal website.
Sure.
They put together a list of the 10 greatest metal riffs of the 70s.
Oh.
So I want to see if you guys agree or disagree. I'll give you a couple examples, and then we'll play some audio of the top five. So at number 10, Motorhead's Dead Men Tell No Tales.
Yeah.
See, okay, I thought that one was the one where I'm like, you can live without that one.
Sure,
is it in order or just random?
Yeah, no, this is
that was number one?
That's number 10.
Oh, 10.
Okay. Number 10. Number 9 is Working Man by Rush.
That's good.
I'll buy that. That's a killer riff.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Okay, I guess it's because of the 70s. Ace of Spades came out in the 80s.
I thought it was early 80s.
All right, because I was like, of all Motorhead songs, maybe not. I just seem odd.
It wouldn't have been the one to pick.
Yeah. Judas Priest, Victim of Changes. Number 7, Cities on Flame by Blue Oyster Cult. And number 6, Running with the Devil by Van Halen.
Cool. Yeah. All right. See, I'm with Running with the Devil. I mean, honestly, man, those other two riffs, I don't even know those songs. I'm sorry.
I feel bad. All right. I don't feel as bad. I was kind of, that's why I glossed over them.
I don't know those songs.
Like, I'm sure I've heard those songs, but they're not like, they're not iconic songs by those bands.
No.
All right. So top five, I feel like they've gotten a little bit better, but let's see if you guys agree or disagree. So number five.
Oh, yeah. Cat Scratch Fever.
Right. Yeah. You can't go wrong with this riff.
Uncle Ted.
I mean, as crazy as Ted Nugent is.
Well, he's crazy.
I think Uncle Ted thinks that's number one on the list.
He would shoot somebody with an arrow if they disagreed.
Number five. No.
All right, so that's number five. Number four, let's check it out. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yep.
I think every musician just goes,
in a weird way, I almost think that should be number one, because anyone that's ever touched a guitar ever has learned that riff.
That's a good point. You know?
That's like the first riff everyone learns.
Oh, I think I must have wrote down the numbers wrong. So this is actually number three, Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple. I'm not necessarily... It's the Rev's fault. He's a dick.
It is Rev's fault.
All right, so number four, I think we'll all agree this is another great riff.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
See, now I'm torn. Would you consider this a better riff than Smoke on the Water?
Well, I mean, in my head, it's a better riff, but every 4-year-old that touches a guitar plays Smoke on the Water. They don't even know who Deep Purple is, and they know that riff. Yeah.
That's a good
point. It's probably the most iconic guitar riff of all time. It doesn't mean it's the best,
I'd pick Space Trekking over Smoke on the Water any day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a super great riff.
All right, number two. Let's see how you guys feel about this one. Glad I was you in the room. Everyone's eyes just lit up. All of us were like, yes. This just brings you back to being a high schooler or a junior high schooler or even elementary school for us old folks.
Well, and the thing of this is the 70s.
Oh, yeah, the bass players are awesome.
School's Out for Summer. Oh, right, yeah. School's Out by Alice Cooper.
I heard he puts on a really good show. I've never seen him, though.
Never seen him live.
I heard he's like top 10. He's just amazing.
And he comes to the casinos. I mean, it's really stupid of us not to go.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like you get to see him in a small, like, you know, what, 3,000 people tops?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
totally.
In a venue like that.
And the production's probably still insane.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone that told me about his show, they said he's just amazing.
Gosh. So all right.
We should go. We should go.
We're all going. Yeah. It's Van Dad's. We'll wear our Van Dad shirts. We'll sell them outside the show.
Dude, if only we could get Van Dad's to open for Alice Cooper.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I feel like we could make that happen.
I mean, I've talked to a lot of people. My friend Adam Dane actually knows him well and says he's a sweetheart. And I've talked to other people that have met him and have like hung out with him, and they just say he's the most grounded, down-to-earth, humble, cool guy ever. So I think if we could just get a 5-minute audience with him, we could probably hook Van Dad's right up.
Perfect. Perfect.
So number one, it's actually they picked every song by that artist. So we just I grabbed one song, and I think you'll know the artist.
Who it is.
Who do you think it is?
I'm going to go with AC/DC.
Okay, what about
Black
you,
Black Sabbath.
Oh,
so Bobby's saying Black Sabbath.
Ooh, Black Sabbath. I'd say AC/DC.
Okay, so Jake, you're on the AC/DC train. What about you, Glenn? What do you think?
Metal.
Well, Steve, I know you're a huge Ram Jam fan, so I'm guessing that number one is Black Betty, just because I know that
you
love that song.
I hate that song. I hate that song with such. I used to like that song when we first started playing it on the mornings. I was like, I haven't heard this song in forever. It's awesome. After the third time we played it, like in a month, I was done. I'm just
turning off.
Like, this is just so then we do Live Day, and Ryan Castle decides it would be funny to have Windowpane as the very first song played on it, because Ryan's very aware that I hate listening to to Ram Jam by the Black Betty song. He has Windowpane play on Live Day. Our first song of that morning is Ram Jam, Black Betty.
Perfect.
and I tried a couple times. I was like, hey, Castle, man, that Black Betty tune's no joke. It's pretty hard. What if we did, like, you know, a Helmet or Unsung or something? He's like, no, Ram Jam. I was like, okay, Ryan, thanks. A few days later, I'm like, hey, Ryan, man, me and the boys were talking about it. What? And he's like, no, you're doing Ram Jam. I was like, oh, okay, Ryan, thanks.
Ryan might as well have said, I hate
like
Steve.
Three times to get out of it. And he was like, no, you will be playing back right. Betty, bro.
Ryan's like, I know this is going to make Steve miserable. You cannot back out of it.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, yeah. And you guys nailed it. I mean, it was awesome. I got to admit, like, you guys killed the performance. But I was
It's not an easy piece of music, man. We really worked. We really worked on it, man. And we tried to knock it out of the park.
Well, I'm proud to say that Ram Jam is not the number one riff of all time.
No, but you're really upset, Steve.
I'm bummed. I'm very bummed. All right, so number one, one of you guys is right.
Ooh. Oh,
and that person is Bobby.
Oh,
I called it.
Boom!
Iron Man.
I'm for the win.
I mean, you can't disagree.
Yeah,
yeah.
Almost every damn Black Sabbath song has a great riff.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
It's Iron Man. I mean, pretty iconic.
I mean, Beavis and Butthead. That's how I base everything.
Well,
Beavis and Butthead,
I mean,
sing along to it.
If you walk into Guitar Center and scan the average 8-year-old, they probably are playing Iron Man. Do you guys think they're playing Iron Man as frequently as they're playing Smoke on the Water? I mean, everyone learned Smoke on the Water first. Am I wrong? That's still a thing.
I think you're right. I'm also hearing there's a lot of similarities between that riff, Smoke on the Water, and Cat Scratch Fever.
Yeah.
Like, they're very similar riffs. They're different.
Same kind of similar.
Yeah. They're all ascending riffs.
Yeah, that's
the
kind
first
of what I mean,
three are basically three chord ascending riffs.
Have we figured out the science of writing a good riff? It's just write an ascending riff.
Well, it's like that one video, like the four chord song, and like how many songs have that progression, you know?
First song I ever learned, and I don't know how to play guitar very well, but it was Stray Cat Strut by the Stray Cats.
No, that's a good one.
Well, you'd probably dig through 80s power ballads based on G, C, and D. And it's assemble G, C, and D in any order, dollar signs fall from like the roof of the area where you're sitting, and, you know,
Wait, so
girls pull up in limousines.
Throw in that A minor sometimes.
Yeah. Now I'm curious, what's the first riff that any of you guys learned? So, Matt, what was do you remember the first riff or first song that you learned on the guitar?
I think so. I think it was Back in Black.
All right, that's not embarrassing.
Without the... I was like, what is this?
We'll come back to that part. Pause. Sometimes less is more.
What about you, Bobby?
Definitely Smoke on the Water.
It was.
Yep.
Nope. All right, Jake. I know you play drums, obviously, but do you play other instruments?
Yeah, I play a little guitar.
Okay.
Space Truckin' was the first song I ever learned.
My man.
Great song.
What about you,
Glenn? It's funky too.
Oh man, when I switched from bass to guitar, and of course I was a teenager.
I didn't know you played bass.
I started out as a bass player because everyone wanted to play guitar, and I just wanted to play rock and roll. So fine, you guys can play guitar. I'll play the damn bass. And that's why I'm one of those unique guitar players that can count and has a good sense of pocket. I started as bass and then I switched
to
guitar. Pretty much all I could play was power chords, right? And then all my first bands were punk bands. So all my first songs that I actually learned were probably all DRI tunes, Sex Pistols tunes, Misfits tunes, Agnostic Front tunes.
Did you know Abduction by DRI?
Odd Man Out, Jody Foster's Army. Good God. It was all stuff like that. And then the first thing I actually ever learned to pick was Empty Spaces by Pink Floyd. I sat there and picked that apart by ear. And then I started picking apart like Mark Knopfler licks. And it was all downhill from there. I've been broke and frustrated ever since, man.
So now you know who to contact to get some money from.
Yeah.
Well, so again, Van Epps is playing on Friday, August 11th over at the Crocodile. Go to thecrocodile.com or vanepps.com to be able to get more information about the show. And it's not only you guys, but 10 Miles Wide, Devils Hunt Me Down, and Omni. Who produced the record? And where did you record it?
Our buddy Sean Walker produced the record.
Yes.
He's also our sound guy. He's been with us for
a long time.
And he's our fifth member.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, the
So he's Sir Sean Walker.
Yes, indeed. We did it at Synergy Studios again, same place we did the first record. And then actually Jason Shavey helped engineer it as well, and he's the owner at Synergy.
Oh, right on.
Super amazing studio if you guys haven't checked it out yet.
Yeah, when you guys did the first one, were you still in the old location, or was Shavey up on Aurora at that point?
New one.
Aurora.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make it sound like he's a streetwalker.
That facility is killer, dude. He's got an SSLG in there. It's It's great sounding room. It's a killer studio. And yeah, Shavey, it's a great facility. I definitely, man, that's killer. It's killer.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Cool. Yeah. Well, let's check out another song. So you said you wanted to anchor?
Sure.
Second song off of the record.
Cool. Yeah.
All right, let's check out Anchor. This is a brand new Van Epps from their upcoming self-titled release, which is going to be available to purchase
indeed
on August 11th over at the Crocodile. So please, everybody who's listening, go check them out. Here's a nice riff. Van Epps right there. Dude, I hope people now realize why I'm so geeked out about this record, man. It just sounds monstrous, if that's even a word. Is monstrous a word?
It's a word.
It is a word. And I'm remiss, man. Actually, I should have mentioned earlier that actually Anchor was the first riff I ever learned on guitar. great riff. And I sat there for hours. You know, my pubes were just starting to come in, and my little fingertips were so soft, and I just worked and worked and worked. I said, someday I'll be a steam rock.
As we all hope to be someday.
Glenn, so you're going to be in Maryland for another week or two? Is that like, so what's going on now for the boys in Windowpane? Are you all just like hanging out at someone's house?
Yeah, we're all my parents, the Saint Roger and Saint Yolo, are putting up the band. We're kind of chilling for a few days. Actually, a really good friend of mine, Chris Nelson came and collected us and took us up to Deep Creek Lake the other day, and we bombed around on the ski boat, and we, you know, they drug us on inner tubes doing 40 mile an hour, and we were kicking each other off the inner tubes. And
yeah, anyone get hurt?
No, well, we're all real sore today.
Okay.
But just had a blast yesterday. That was awesome. But we're playing an acoustic show up in Frostburg, which is sort of above the Cumberland Valley where Frostburg State College is. We're going to do an acoustic show there. And then Friday and Saturday, we're doing two more club shows, and then we fly out Tuesday. Nice. So, yeah, next Tuesday, I'll be on an airplane. I won't even be able to remote in. And we get back into town, I believe, August 1st or 2nd.
Wow.
So, rocking a few more shows, visiting family, trying to slow down on the Jack Daniels. First couple days we were here, everyone's like, man, great to see you guys. And
drink.
Oh, dude, yeah, we really hit it hard for about 3 days straight. Now all of us are like, may I have a Pepsi?
How's your new bassist, Kristen, doing? Any stories of him and his single life exploits?
No. I mean, I don't know. I think there were lots of girls that batted their eyelashes at him. But, Chris actually parted ways with us for a minute. And I should tell you guys, too, this was a total trip. But anyway, Chris had a buddy named Patrick that lives in Ohio. Uh-huh. Patrick drove all the way in from Ohio to see the show then kidnapped Chris. So Chris is back with Pat in Ohio partying for a couple days.
Oh, nice.
All kinds of mischief. But mid-show, like, we're six songs in. And I look over and Chris is gone. And I'm like, what is going on, dude? And then Sean yelled over the drum riser, like, hey, man, Chris had to fix something real quick. And I'm like, what? And then Sean starts clicking us into the next song. And I'm okay. So we turn to the next song and I look over and there's this dude with a bag on his head, a brown paper bag on his head playing bass. And it took about a tenth of a second till I realized it was Mark Harris. He drove about 13 hours all the way in from Iowa.
That's awesome.
Yeah, wow, man. And he got on. Chris was in on it. Chris knew about it. The promoter knew about it. No one else knew about it. And about halfway through the song, Chris ran on stage and ripped that paper bag off of Mark's head. And that audience, because, you know, Mark's from this town, too.
Right.
That audience went insane.
Dude, that's
they
so
screamed
cool.
so loud. Nice. It almost knocked us backwards off that massive stage.
Oh, that's awesome.
And,
I was about to jokingly say that he switched back with Mark and like he passed the torch without you knowing as a joke. And then it turns out that's what he did.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, no joke, man. It was all a big, you know, and Mark was all beat up. He had his 16-year-old daughter was driving while he was sleeping in the back, and they hit some weather, and she hydroplaned and hit a guardrail and mashed the hell out of the car. And Mark went flying up through the front of the car, so he had a big knot on his head, and his eye was all busted up, and he was up there just throwing down, you know, and just Mark.
Rock
so it was
roll.
Rad. I mean, those two kept switching off and on. We played for, like I said, we played for almost 2 hours because those people really suffered a miserable day. So we threw down until there was nothing left to give them. And it was cool, man. They just went wild. But yeah, that was a total surprise. I didn't know that he was doing that until he was standing beside me. And
awesome. Even
the brown paper bag didn't fool me because I've been playing with him for so long. I recognized his posture and was like, good God, Mark's here. You know?
Yeah.
It was killer. It was a hell of a surprise, man. It was pretty cool. So yeah, some fun, you know, some fun stuff.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah,
that's
dude, cool. It was pretty happening.
All right, so before we wrap things up, let's do one more song. Which one do you guys want to do? And give us a little backstory behind the song.
I'll give you a backstory.
Oh, crap. Okay. I'm torn between either Evolution or Burn. Both of them I was really jamming out to while vacuuming yesterday.
All right.
That's where I do most of my music listening.
While
doing chores.
Dude, let's have a vacuum party sometime, man.
Vacuum party.
I listened to both of them while I was having incredible sex with my wife.
No, me.
I listened to both while vacuuming and grooming my dog.
I'll explain it. You know, Blood and Anchor I'm listening while I'm cleaning the toilets.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
That doesn't sound right.
There's a bloody anchor at the bottom of this toilet.
Then hey, what does Sid do around your house, man?
She does nothing. Nothing at all. Actually, she cleans everything but the toilets and vacuum, so I can't complain.
My job is to be blonde and gorgeous, honey. Now you go clean. Yes, Miss Sid. Yes, Miss
Sid. And then by the time I get to Evolution and Burn, that's when I'm in my vacuum phase.
Fair enough.
So I don't know. I'm torn on these two.
Fair enough.
Why don't you guys pick between those two?
Oh, man, don't make me pick.
Glenn, you pick, then.
Between Evolution or Burn?
Yeah. Or any of the other ones, if you want.
I'm going to pick Burn because there's a sex joke there.
Okay.
All right, let's do Burn. One
that
more
had nothing to do with the backstory of the song.
Yeah, what's the backstory?
You know what? As a friend, I'm very glad to hear that it had nothing to do with the backstory of the song. That makes me happy.
So what is the song about?
It's kind of about a couple things. Honestly, I don't know if these guys know this. But
chlamydia.
When we were making
about
this
hatred for Bobby.
When we were making, we've been a band for like 12 years, and we've had some rough patches, and there were times where we were just at each other's throats, and this song is actually kind of about just wanting to say, enough with everything. But obviously, we get through it. We're brothers. But
yeah,
that's what this song's about.
Wow. Yeah. Of all the songs, it's pretty intense. It's like the most intense one about your bandmates.
Yeah. Sorry,
love
guys.
You guys. Whoopsies.
Love you guys.
Well, this is the first. This is going to be the last show by Van Apps on August 11th as the band breaks up. Now that
we're doing very
song.
Well now, thank you.
Matt talked to me before I flew out. He put me up to this. He wanted to specifically share that he wants to secretly kill you guys.
Oh, perfect. It's no more secret.
There's going to be a bomb right. under the stage.
They're all going solo after this. It's going to be like Kiss. You're each going to have your own solo record.
Well, Matt's joining the new originals, man, after that show at Slim's. So we can't let him go now, dude.
That's right. You did sing with the
that
new originals.
Fun. That was a fun time.
The world's worst cover band.
He was killer.
Dude,
man.
It was a lot of fun. I always forget how hard you guys party, though.
Well,
I
just want to say that only the rhythm section was a mess. I think that those of us standing to the frontmost portion of the stage played really well.
I can probably say I was not playing drums that day, so it had nothing to do with this part of the rhythm section.
I'm pretty sure that before we played, I think Castle, Thrill, and I may have had somewhere up to like 8 beers and 2 shots, but we were playing at 3, and we started rehearsal at 11. So somewhere between that time.
Oh, that's right, because Glenn said when he showed up to see all you guys, you were all just like... Hi.
Yeah, we were nice.
No, Thrill, man, honestly, Castle, I thought was on point.
Oh,
Thrill.
Yeah.
Thrill looked like Garfield after he eats a lasagna. He had this huge smile. His eyes are half open. He kept using the word love and man. Thrill was really special, man. I can't even think about it without laughing, dude. It was rad.
All right, well, let's check out Burn. Now, this is the Van Apps. Again, you can buy the record on August 11th over at the Crocodile, and that's going to be a show along with 10 Miles Wide, Devils Hunt Me Down, Omni, and of course, Van Apps will be playing, so you can purchase this record there and go and celebrate and support these boys. Here's the song Burn on the Minxcast. And if it works, Rev, you dick.
Rev? Come on, Rev.
Every time I
Hell yeah. Well, we've lost the rest of the band. They listened to the lyrics and they said, you know what? Now we know what you're talking about. F you, we're out.
Game over.
So again, that's Van Epps. They're going to be playing on August 11th over at the Crocodile with 10 Miles Wide, Omni, and then Devils Hunt Me Down, who are also releasing their EP on the same night.
Correct, yeah.
So you get your CD release and their EP release.
And they just released their single, one of the singles off that on Facebook, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah, so you check them out. Yeah, what, hands down, one of my favorite Seattle local bands. So good.
This is they're killer. Those guys are fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
What a great bill. I mean, all the bands. It's some of the best bands in Seattle. It's going to be a great night of music.
Dude,
people
would
be stupid not to attend.
That's right.
Well, I think
so. You won't be there then, Steve.
That is the same weekend as I am stupid, because that's the same weekend as Summer Meltdown with D. Ted Smith, where I'm going to be in Darrington, taking a trip to the other side. I would imagine.
Have you ever been to Meltdown before?
No,
dude. It's intense.
That's what I hear.
Intense fest of lots of let's say what would I say? Just drugs.
Go on.
Wow.
I like how you tried to word that and it just came out.
Yeah, like, you know,
I was trying to be
drugs.
Lighter.
Yeah. Lots of drugs.
My gosh, yeah.
Well, I'm going sober. I'm just going to be high on life.
It's a good way to go.
Yes.
Nice.
That's going to be fun.
You'll have some stories.
If I don't make it there, I'll be at the Van Epps show. Because now you're scaring me, man.
I mean, it's just like mind-altering. Like, it's not like a dangerous thing.
So you've gone to Meltdown before?
I played with a dude once a while, like years ago. I played bass at it, and it was...
Was it weird?
It was really fun. It just wasn't what I expected.
So, like, what was the crowd like when you were performing in front of a bunch of people who were probably tripping their faces
hippie-ish,
off?
Yeah. Yeah. But it wasn't bad. It was fun. It was super fun. I just did not know what I was getting into.
Yeah, I talked to someone who was in a band called Elephant Revival about it, and she was telling me how one time they were playing a show, and I don't know if it was at Meltdown, but it was at like a similar festival show, and some guy just had like a Congo drum and just walked up on stage and just started playing with them.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we don't need your help. We appreciate it, but we've been practicing as this lineup.
Yeah.
It'd be best if you get off the stage.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Some people are just so rude.
You won't have as much fun as you'd be having at the Crocodile.
That is very true. So again, August
11th.
August 11th. 10 Miles Wide, Devils Hunt Me Down, Omni, and some band called Van Epps. I don't know. If they can make it, they'll be there as well. Big CD release show, and congratulations on the record, man.
Thank you.
The record sounds fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Glenn, you have any parting words?
No, man. Just I will definitely see you guys at the Van Epps CD release party show. And we'll be back soon, man. Miss you guys. I wish I could have been in studio today.
Oh, it's all good. Dude, safe travels, man. I'm glad you're having fun over there.
Yeah, it's been a good trip, man. We're looking forward to playing these another couple shows and then get back home and get dug back in, man.
Hell yeah.
Cool.
Very cool.
But we will see you guys at the Croc, man. I know we'll be there in full force, brother.
See you soon, buddy. Later, man.
Right on, Glenn. All right, I think he's there, or maybe he's not. But
I'm here.
All right, Glenn, thank you.
Hey!
All right, for anyone who's listening to this podcast, thank you as always for listening. You can reach us at themigscast@gmail.com or 253-271-4787. I would have played some voicemails and some emails, but honestly, traffic was a bitch to get in here. We had the day off, and I got here like minutes before these guys showed up, so didn't have any time to do any prep. But that's okay. We had fun.
Yeah.
It was a great time.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
And most importantly, we leave with one solid nugget of information, and that is, Rev, you're a dick.
Yay!
One more time, all of us. Ready? One, two, three.
Rev, you're a dick.
You're a dick.
He's going to be like, what?
His wife will probably listen to this before him, and she's like, babe, you might want to listen to the podcast.
Did you know you're a dick?
They gave you a really hard time, honey.
As he's puking in the bathroom. All right, well, as always, thank you guys for listening, and stay positive. Take care. We'll be right back.